me a lot of peace. Everybody say hi to Joanne.
Morning, Joanne.
Praise God. Happy Mother's Day.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and pray together this morning to the greatest God, the God who created all of this. He didn't have to do it. He did it for us. And His promise that we will be with Him forever and ever. He sent His Son for us. What a great God. What a great promise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give Him praise. That's His promise to you and to me. How can you not love Him? How can you not want to have that life? How can you choose any other way when those promises are forever? Praise God. Bear with me today. I think I had kind of went backwards during the week, but I feel great. God is with me and the Spirit is strong. My heart is strong and good to see everybody. Responsive reading, Marilyn picked Psalm 113. Let's see what we have. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens.
That's our God. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high?
Who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth.
He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needs out of the ash heap.
That He may seat Him with princes. With the princes of His people.
He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that something? This book that we read, God's Word, tells us over and over again to praise His name, to say thank you to God. Remember the story about the 10 that lepers and only one came back. Imagine that. He healed all 10 of them, yet only one came back to say, hey, Jesus, thank you. We're not them kind of children. We want to thank Him every day. Amen. Flo is back today. We have something to rejoice. Everybody say hi to Flo. She's home again. Now, good to be home. And I'm thinking Elaine with the 5 sons, probably with her children today. I don't know why she should be here. No, don't get me. George will get mad at me. And George and Pat. Dave, you look wonderful today. Whatever's going on, you look all Spartan and everything, smiling up. Deacon Bill, praise God. Hallelujah. Mother's Day. I had a mom that just loved me with everything she had. We always say, everybody says, I don't know how she did it. My dad had left, and what happens to families, sometimes they split up, and it was just me and mom over here on Olivia Street. We had a three-room apartment, no hot water. She had to heat the pipe, heat this tank that had water in it so we'd have hot water. Had a potbelly stove in the house. And she worked at Weber's Cleaners, and then she worked at the cleaners at the hospital. Worked a hard job, but I never knew we were poor. I never knew because there was always a banana on the table. There was always food in the refrigerator. There was always something. And she did all she could for me. I am so thankful. I know that I had a mother that I can thank and praise. But I also know she gave me the greatest, and I was just telling Greg, and Greg, I'd forgot it since I, not forgotten, but I hadn't thought about it. My mom passed away on August 15th, 1995, and I remember that day. Because it was the last gift that she gave me. If I can get through this, Mary. My mom passed on the same morning that a man named Mickey Mantle passed away. The same day, the same morning. It's like mom saying to me, don't worry, Larry. I'm going to be all right. Mickey's going with me. And Mickey, if you anybody knew that name, John, if you know who that is, he played baseball for the New York Yankees. He was pretty good, too.
Larry's favorite.
And she passed away. So, but I understand that some people, I have friends that didn't have a mom that was there. You know, and that happens in life. But the Bible says we should honor them. And the way you honor them is through the hard times in your life to do better. If mama left you and you feel that way, abandoned, then you do better. You praise her and you honor her by being the best you can be, because she did one certain thing. She gave you life. And if she gave you life, that's the greatest gift of all, that you can enjoy this world. You can enjoy springtime, summertime, the snow. You get so much to be thankful for. That's why you praise them and honor them. And I know sometimes it's not easy for people, but that's how you get out of the anger. You get away from the anger by praising. You get away from the anger by honoring them. All of a sudden you feel pretty good. Say, I can do it. My mother might have abandoned me, but I and then some people say they couldn't be a mom. And I say, yes, you could, because there's children in the world, there's people in the world that need a mentor. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to lead them. So perhaps you weren't that a real mother in that sense of a birth mother, but you were a mother by raising somebody else's children. And that's a great honor. And you should be honored for that. Women should be honored every day for all they do, because I don't know how my mom did half of what she did. And my wife, it's true, having a Mother's Day sounds kind of nice, but it should be, if it's going to be anything, a Mother's Month, or maybe a whole year dedicated to moms, because, you know, without mom, we wouldn't all be here today. Amen?
Amen.
So, hallelujah. So, let's pray together. Where's my piano player?
I could do it, Daddy.
Hallelujah. Lord, just help us to see that when we do what you tell us to do, when we follow those commandments, when we live the way you tell us to live, it removes all that stress, all that anger. We can't be angry with people if we have to forgive them as they forgive us. We can't be angry with people if we humble ourselves and love each other and we love them as we love ourselves. We can't be mad. We don't have time for that because we're doing your way. And when we do it your way, we can't be angry. There's no time. Because we need to love, and love is the greatest gift of all. Today in the world, they're honoring mothers, and that's a beautiful thing. So we stand in church today honoring mothers. But the Bible said to honor your mother and your father. So do the best you can. Draw closer to God. If your mom's in heaven watching down, let her see that you're okay. Let her see that you're walking with Jesus, because she's already there. My mom's already there, and she knows I'm coming. But I want her to see that her son is walking with Jesus, that her son is leading people to God, that she sees what she did, all the things in the work that she did were for good. Praise God. Bringing me to a church where they spoke only in Latin. I had no idea, but mom brought me there, and those seeds were planted. We need to do that with each other. We need to plant seeds in each other. Seeds of love and harmony and just joy and peace, because the world is hungry to see good things. So Lord, thank you for this day. Let us see all the good things that you have, and let this be the beginning of the rest of our life as we leave here stronger in you, and we leave here wanting to know more about you and come to a place where they talk about you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. So my daughter was talking to me the other day, and she said, Dad, she wanted to talk about Cain and Abel. She said, what happened? Why was God mad at Cain and not Abel? And I explained it, and then she said, well, he used a stone. Did he use a stone to kill his brother? And I said, no, you know what? The Bible never said what Cain did, how Cain killed his brother. And because evidently it wasn't important. So it wasn't in the Bible. So anybody starts talking about, they have this Bible discussion, they start talking about how he did it, they're imagining how they did it. Can I get an amen? So you see, there's a lot of things that aren't in the Bible. There's a lot of things that people talk about and things that they believe that aren't
in this book. And it's okay to, you know, to talk about it and wonder how it happened. You know, another thing are the thorns around Jesus' head. Anybody see that? They think that they actually found the thorns that were put on Jesus' head. There's nothing in this book. What is it? There's nothing, Hector, in this book about those thorns. Can you say amen? Yeah, you see, so anybody who says that said, okay, well, maybe, but there's nothing in the Word. So there's nothing to hold on to. And the cross, anybody ever hear stories about the cross, Deacon Sergio? They talked about the cross being a healing power, that anybody that took a piece of the cross and touched it were healed. And the cross actually, some people say, actually healed itself after you pulled pieces off, the wood came back. It's not in the Word. There's nothing in the Word, but people get caught up in this, and they want to know more. But they start putting things in the Bible that aren't in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. So why would God want us to have those? He wouldn't. You see, He wouldn't. He wants us to focus on Him. He doesn't want to put our treasures and everything on a thing. It's Jesus. It's about you and Jesus. Now, there's other things that the Bible doesn't say that we talk about and we share. Anybody remember Noah? Noah had three sons and three wives. Evidently, he was a godly man. Say, how do you know that? Because God was talking to him, and he heard God. So he must have been a wonderful man and where he grew up. He must have had friends because he was a loving man, because he loved God. And his sons and his daughter-in-laws, they had people all around, and God told him to build an ark. And just build it, and just because something was going to happen. How many think that he actually talked to his friends about that? I do. It's not in the Bible, but why wouldn't I think that Noah, hey, look at God's going to do something. So maybe for the first couple of years, his friends were there helping him build the ark. After 10 years, maybe a few of them left. After 30 years, some of his friends said, you're crazy. The Bible says 150 years, friends. 150 years. So God sent the water down, and how many people did Noah save? 8, counting himself. Imagine that. With all that God told him, and all that he had, and all his wisdom, he couldn't get anybody else to believe with him to get in the ark, except his three sons, their wives, and his wife. Anybody ever think about it that way? Let's move ahead a little bit to Moses. How many remember Moses? Moses was in Egypt. You know, the Israelites, the Israel nation, they were in bondage. They were bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. Moses set them free. Amen. He set them all free. You're free. Let's go. Let's go. And they all followed Moses, and he's leading them because God set them free. And then all of a sudden, they went to the ocean. Oh. And they look back, and here come the Egyptians. Here come all the warriors. And they look at Moses and say, what are you going to do now? And what did Moses do? Anybody? He parted the waters. Sergio. He parted the sea, and they went through. I'm telling you right now, friends, if we all went down to the Housatonic River and your pastor parted the Housatonic River so you could walk to Shelton, this church would have 12,000 people in 20 seconds. I can't do that. Okay, so they went across. You know they're all with them now, right? I mean, come on, right? If I went and parted the Housatonic River, you'd never leave my side. Tell me the truth. See? Right? So they're all with him now. They all got his back. About a week later, hey, we got no food. You took us away from all that. Yeah, we were in bondage, but they fed us. You don't have any food. He said, are you kidding? So he prays, and God feeds them all. So if I feed the whole town of Derby, all of a sudden I come and I feed everybody in Derby. How about that? So Moses fed them all. Fed everybody. Every day. Now they got his back, right? They're going to walk with Moses now. They ain't got no water. What are you going to do about water? He's walking to the promised land. He said, come on, they don't have water. Moses hit the rock with his cane, and what happened? Water came out of the rock. Moses gave them water from who? God. Understand, if you're a pastor, if me and Dave could go down to the river and I can part the Housatonic River, we'd have everybody in the valley saved. But you think that's how all it takes? It took 40 years for them to get to the promised land. It should have taken 40 days to get to the promised land. But because of all their unbelief, no matter what he did, no matter what Moses did, because of their unbelief, it took 40 years, and most of them didn't make it to the promised land. Moses didn't get into the promised land, although we know how high Moses was lifted up. So I'm saying to you today as a pastor, if somebody comes to church and they don't come back, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm sad, I should say, and I want everybody to keep coming back. But I start thinking of Moses. He parted the sea, I can't part the river. He fed everybody, I can't feed everybody. And people left him. So why shouldn't I be surprised when people give up their faith because of something else that they hear, or something they didn't like, or some other little attitude that caused them to pull away? Because they're not pulling away from me, they're pulling away from who? God. You see, but if it happened to Moses, Noah couldn't save one person. How many people have you tried to save in the last year? How many people you said, come to church?
Nobody coming.
Come to the nightclub. And let me tell you about what people want to hear, good news. Thank you, I remember this. Thank you, Lord. You know how hungry people are for good news? 1,200 views for Fatso on my wife's Facebook. You might not know, we have a woodchuck in our backyard. We named him Fatso. My wife literally opens up the back bedroom window. She goes, Fatso! And he comes over, a woodchuck. And she throws a banana out the window, and he eats the banana from one end to the other. She posted it on Facebook. The other day she said, look at this, 1,200 views.
2,100
now. If she put God loves you, she probably gets 7 or 8 views and 3 people dislike. People are so hungry for something good that 2,100 people are looking at my woodchuck in the backyard. And I'm thinking, Dave, I'm going. Now, Dave and I think alike. We do. I'm thinking, well, we do. How can we not get that to work for the church? Put something on Facebook. Get 2,100 people.
I'm going to have to get an outfit that says God loves you and put it on.
He's a woodchuck. I never saw a woodchuck eat bananas in my life. And you know, one person said we shouldn't feed him bananas, probably not good for him. Another person said it was probably a gopher. And one person said something. You know, even this. I mean, you talk about God to people, you're going to get rejected. Trust me. That's part of the deal. That's part of the Bible. One person said it's watching this is like watching paint dry. That's what they said. Watching paint dry, watching Fatso eat the banana. And I said, if I had Facebook, I'd say, why are you watching? Why did you watch and say that at the end of saying that?
It was a man. And I didn't have to say anything because all the ladies jumped all over and said, I'd rather watch this any day than watch anything on Netflix.
So, you see, when people reject you, they rejected Noah and then Moses. Now, I have a question, see, because I want to bring everybody together. It's my heart as a pastor, and even my wife doesn't understand, and I don't say that in the wrong way. It's been my heart to be a pastor for many years, her heart to be a mama. She's a great mama. So, when things come against me or things happen, I humble myself, and I call people, and I say, please come, because it's my heart to bring people together. You're all my family. I hurt when somebody's not here. And it's the heart of a pastor. So when I want to bring people together, so I want to ask you a question. What religion was Noah? What denomination was Noah? What denomination was Moses? Anybody? All right, I'll make it easier for you. What denomination was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Which one?
Peter, James, come on, Timothy. They have to have a denomination. They have to have a religion. You know why? Because there's some people in the world today that say, if you're not this religion, you're not going to heaven. So I say, wait a minute. You mean Moses isn't in heaven? Because let me tell you something else that it doesn't say in the Bible. It doesn't say anything about Adventists, Baptists, Calvinists, Catholics, Evangelicals, Lutheran, Methodist, Pentecostal, Protestant, Jehovah's Witnesses, Latter-day Saints, Congregational, Church of Christ, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Calvary Chapel, Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, or Presbyterian. There's not one word about any of them in God's Word. So what they have to, I'm telling you the truth. There's some religions that tell you if you're not filling the blank, you're not going to heaven. I've heard that I've seen it. And you know what that does? I'm talking to Jesus. How can that be? Because this is what Jesus said. And Luke, I got it right here. Also I say to you, whoever, what word is that?
Whoever
confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. Wow. I mean, all I got to do is tell somebody about Jesus. Confess how good Jesus is. And it says that Jesus will confess about me before the angels of God. What religion is that? What denomination? It isn't one. Amen? And I'm thinking, how can this be? How can we be divided, loving the same God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's something very interesting in one religion that, if you study it, is very interesting. You talk about 144,000 people. That's who's going to be in heaven. It's 144,000, right, John?
Yeah.
And the Bible does say that. So it does say that there's 144,000 who are going to be chosen, who are chosen by God to be with him. And those are from the 12 tribes of Jewish nation. So there's going to be 12,000 from each tribe, which makes how much? 144,000. And they're going to be with God because they were selected and they were set apart. These people, they're Jewish. So if you go to a different religion that says that and you're not Jewish, you're not part of the deal. First, you got to be Jewish. But they're going to be set apart. Now, how many remember the story of Elijah? Because this is pretty cool. Remember when Elijah had run away and he was in the cave and he was all scared because he had done all these things, but Jezebel was after his life. And he told God. God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm here and I'm by myself. And I'm the only one, God. He said, I'm the only one who stood by you and held you and lived for you. And God said, no, Elijah. The Bible said, God said, I put 7,000 people. There are 7,000 who have not defiled me on their knees to Baal, who have stayed true to me. So God back in the day had 7,000. These people, these 144,000, the Bible said, they're virgins. And when you hear the word virgin, you all know what you're thinking, right? You're thinking it's got something to do with man and woman, but that's not what the Bible means. It means they haven't defiled themselves to Baal. They haven't gotten on their knees and worshiped Baal. They haven't talked doubt. They haven't talked anything except God. They worship God. They've been true to God every minute of their life. They're devoted to God, and God called them the chosen. How many know Israel is the chosen nation? And those are already picked out. Those people are picked out. God has picked them out, and he's going to bring them to himself. But it's not going to be separate from us. Hallelujah. It's not going to be anything where it's anything over us. It's just where God called these because they're pure and they're, you know what they're going to do? This is great. You see in the Bible, they're going to minister to people and they're going to minister the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's Jesus. So they're going to tell everybody about, they're going to worship God and they're going to worship Jesus. It's got nothing to do with separating us or somebody being better or somebody lifted higher. This is God who chose this. This is the way God called it to be. There's a lot of confusion, but there shouldn't be, because we're all worshiping who? Jesus. Listen to this. Matthew says, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. How many will come?
Many.
many will come. More than 144,000, amen? Evidently, many will come. And then it says this in Revelation, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Hallelujah. Blessed is he. Who's reading the Bible? We are. Who's blessed? We are. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? We are all brothers and sisters together. God has a plan for all of us. God has called us. And it says in the book of Acts. Listen to this. Let me find it because I want to read it. It's on my spirit. Here it is. I'm doing good today. Jesus.
Five Hail Marys, Fred.
I want us to bring us together. You know why I'm doing this? I want families to be healed. You know, families are divided by religion. How many have ever felt that? Somebody went to another church and all of a sudden they can't come to your church. You're talking about God, you're reading out of the same book, and something happens and all of a sudden you can't be together. Does that make any sense? We should all be united in under one God, under one law, the book of the law right here. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says in Acts. God shows no partiality, but in every nation. How many nations?
Every
nation. Whoever, say that word with me. Whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What's so hard about that? How is that anything where one religion knows everything and the other religion is worthless? Where does that? There's nothing in this Bible. Amen? It says, through his name, whoever believes in him. Who? Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's the Bible. Who wants to follow the Bible? Who wants to follow man? I don't. People are following man. And here's the kicker. Give me a couple more minutes. Because here's the kicker for me. In Revelation 22:18, listen to this. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It's called the warning. It's Revelation 22:18. Anybody adds or subtracts anything from this book is going to face the curses that are in Deuteronomy. And so, aha, here's an aha moment. How many know other religions have their own book? Mm-hmm. You ever see that? I've seen it. I was raised to go. Other religions have their own book, amen? You know why? Because they got to give you other rules. Because they can't, see, if they can't stick with this, say, well, yeah, well, that's what the Bible said, but we're going to tell you what we say, and we're going to tell you why you need to know what we say, because what we say is, well, it's more important than what the Bible says. You don't need to know what's in the Bible. You need to know what we say. That's why they make other books to follow. So you start following that, and all of a sudden, you're getting away from what? This book right here. And I don't mean to pick on anybody. I just want to be honest. There's people who say that Peter was the first pope of the Catholic Church. I don't know if you ever, Peter was. First of all, it's not in this book, amen? Because the Bible says he shows no partiality. But the church in Rome was 300 years after Peter died, before Rome established a church. So I don't think Peter lived 300 years. So in order to, you really have to stretch, you have to write your own story to tie in Peter being the first pope of anything, because he passed away long before the church itself was established, that particular denomination. And you start thinking, well, what else is, what, the Bible just says, read the word. Read the word. The Bible says, preach the word. Hallelujah. If it's not in the Bible, it's not in the Bible. The Bible is about you and God. Jim, you and God. Chuck, the Bible's about you and God, not about any religion. Now, we're all placed, and God said, okay, God says that he plants people in different places. And I say, that's great. But if you're planted somewhere and you're not getting fed, what good is the soil? If you're planted somewhere and you're hearing things that don't match up and you're not happy and you're not lifted up and you're not joining your family, what good is the soil, see? The Word of God should unite us all. We should be of one faith, of one belief, focused on God and focused on this book. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night. And if I do, I shall prosper and I shall have good success. This book, this one right here, you know what book this is? The Bible. Anybody think God needed any help? That's the thing that gets me. Today's world says, well, God needed help. He might have. That was 2,000 years ago. And maybe he didn't think this would happen 2,000 years later. Really. The God who created all this somehow missed the fact that something was going to happen? I don't think so. I think he got it perfect. That's why I love this book. That's why I love you. And that's why I want to lift you up. And I want to bring you together. I want you to have the knowledge of God and the peace of God. And when somebody comes to you, I want you to have the words to teach them. I want you to have the wisdom to answer them with love and with kindness. Amen. I want you to show them in the book where it is that they can read it for themselves in this book, not anybody else's book, because this is the book. Man wrote the other books. God inspired this book. So give him praises. We're one family under God. Hallelujah. And I still can't part the Housatonic River. I'm sorry. I just want you to understand that God loves you and has a promise for you. It's between you and God. It's that simple. It's not between a church, a denomination, a group of people, what anybody else says. God says, I love you. God says to love the Son. When you love the Son, you are partakers. Your promises are yes and amen. You have a promise for days to come. You have a promise for eternity simply because you love the Son. The remission of your sins, the promise of the days to be with your loved ones again. All these promises are from God, but they're just between you and him. How you walk with him, how you talk with him, how you tell others about him. That's the beauty. Man separates. I don't know why. I believe simply it's power. I believe it's simply power. When people get power, they hate to give it up. Remember the Pharisees and the money, yes? The Pharisees and the scribes, what were they afraid of when Jesus came? They should have known him, amen? They should have known who he was. But they also thought, he's going to take my power. I'm not going to be needed anymore because here he is. And they didn't want to give that up. So man made all these rules and regulations to keep us separate. I don't know why, but there's one way, and that's Jesus. And that's you and him, and loving him changes your life. So give him praise.
Hallelujah.
I'm giving her introduction, Sal, even on the guitar. Yeah, you're spoiling me.
Now this is in the Bible where he teaches us and tells us Jesus, the Bible calls it the Last Supper. Jesus didn't call it that. He was with his disciples and he was going to tell them things that they didn't understand. Imagine that. They didn't even know what he was talking about, but you do. You have something that the disciples didn't have. You have the Word of God. Hallelujah. So when we do this morning, you're just doing this in remembrance of Jesus, and you're honoring him by remembering. As he took the bread and blessed and broke it, and he told his disciples, eat and do this in remembrance of me, for he was going to be taken for that. They didn't know, but you do. Hallelujah. Pray to God this morning. Talk to God. Have some joy in your heart. Share the joy in your heart today. He knows your prayers. He knows your needs. He knows what you're worried about. Just give him joy this morning. For all the promises that he's promised you. You. He knows you. He loves you. With all our faults, he loves us so perfectly. So have joy in your heart this morning. Whatever you're going through physically, ask him to help you. Show you a way to get you stronger. Pray for those who aren't here today. Pray for those who need this. Pray for those who want to hear the word, hear the good news.
and want to be part of this family, because there's good news being preached here. Each week we're preaching good news. We're preaching the Word of God for all of us. All are welcome in here who are searching. Share Him. Just understand that what happened to Moses and what happened to Noah will be rejected. Some of the people who have lack of knowledge will mock what you're saying because they don't understand. But never give up, because God never gave up on you or me. Hallelujah. Just never give up. Look up and believe. See things even though they aren't. See them that way. See the church full. See your family here. See your life changed. That's called faith. Thank Him this morning as you partake of this. Understand this is just what we do to remember what Jesus did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, this morning for our iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, for any time that we fell. Lord, stand us up and forgive us, Lord, as we partake of the blood of Christ. To be covered in this blood is the remission of all our sins. Jesus poured the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you. According to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." He paid that price. This morning we do this in remembrance of Him. Thank you, deacons. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Send us those who are hungry, Lord. We'll feed them. Send us, Lord, those who thirst. We will give them something to drink. This world needs more of touch of God. We need more of God in schools, more of God in our lives, more of God at home, more of God at the dinner table, our families. Things have changed so much. We need to turn back to God. Give people hope that they didn't have. Give these youngsters hope that they didn't even understand, because they haven't heard us. Nobody's told them. Help us, Lord, to open doors. Help us with our family members and our children. And we pray every day will come to you, Lord. Show us how to do that. Send somebody to them that they'll believe. That's what you pray. Maybe your words are too strong for your children. So you say, "Lord, send them somebody that they trust. And let them tell our children about you to change their life forever." The promises of God, even tomorrow, are amazing. Rivers of life, a river of water, trees full of fruit for healing, for food. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. Just an absolute beautiful place God has prepared for all of us. That's the truth. That's His word. We are His family. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. We do this morning in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch every heart here this morning. Let them know how happy we are that they're here. Let them know that the pastor's heart is full of seeing them and rejoicing and sharing the Word of God together. I pray that something move them today, or some peace or some joy or something help them that they want to know more. We have a Bible study Tuesday night. You all come to the Bible study. It's at 7 o'clock. We'll even talk more about Revelation if you want. We'll discuss that as we talk more about the Holy Spirit. The power that gave the apostles the ability to write the Bible. Remember, before they received the Holy Spirit, they did nothing. But after they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they wrote the Bible. They had the power of God. You have the power of God. Don't let anybody tell you different. God said, "I give you the helper," when you give God your heart. Hallelujah. So give Him praise, church.